Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of kings on earth. Amen. Dear saints, this evening we want to consider the exchange between Philip and Nathanael, and then Nathanael and Jesus from our gospel reading. Now, obviously, Philip and Nathanael know each other. Maybe they're friends or co-workers. Maybe they're business partners, possibly fishermen like Peter and Andrew. We don't really know a whole lot about them. But Jesus tells Philip, "Follow me." Philip does. And what is the first recorded thing that Philip does afterwards? He goes and finds Nathanael. He tells him something quite remarkable. He says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." That is, not very long after first meeting Jesus, Philip has identified this man as the promised one, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the one that the Old Testament prophesied would come to save and redeem his people. And then Philip narrows down and identifies who exactly this person is: Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, at these words, Nathanael's not really that impressed. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, it's not exactly a put-down of Nazareth, but Nathanael knows that there is no particular Old Testament connection between Nazareth and the promised Messiah. In fact, Nazareth isn't even mentioned in the entire Old Testament. So it seems unlikely to Nathanael, who clearly knows the scriptures, that anyone important would come from there, much less the Messiah. Had he known that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he might have had a different opinion. But Philip ignores him, and he persists, and simply invites Nathanael to investigate for himself. "Come and see." Now, at first, we kind of wonder, why does Nathanael even do what Philip says? Why does he go to see what this fellow Jesus is all about anyway? Philip's not an important person. He doesn't have any particular authority over Nathanael that we're aware of. They're friends, maybe co-workers. Quite simply, their relationship with one another causes Nathanael to trust him, to trust Philip, at least to the point of going to see what all the fuss is about. He accepts the invitation, "Come and see." The parallel, the lesson for us, should be obvious. The best person to invite your family member or friend to come and see, Jesus, is, well, you. While it is so obvious, it's often difficult. Oh, we want some sort of program to bring people into the church. We look for other ways. I won't say that advertising doesn't work to bring people into the church, but the church isn't exactly a business that's marketing something that people outside of the church are really that interested in to begin with. There are some that find a particular church sort of on their own, and of course, websites and videos and blogs can help people identify what a church teaches, what they believe, what they're all about. But the vast majority of us here are here because of a family member or friend. Maybe it was your parents when you were an infant. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe a colleague. Someone invited you to come and see. Why? Because there was already a relationship established between you and that person. You were led by them to come and see what they already saw and knew. You came and you saw, you heard Jesus, and you believed. This interaction between Philip and Nathanael, it's so ordinary, isn't it? It's just so everyday. Philip sees something that excites him, invites Nathanael, and he goes and sees it too. If it wasn't in the Bible, we wouldn't even think twice about it. We wouldn't realize how profound it actually is. Paul speaks to this reality in our first reading. He calls us, God's people, jars of clay. We're just common, ordinary folk. We're nothing special in the eyes of this world. We're as fragile as anyone else. We're just as prone to disease or worry or difficulty. We're just as prone to death as everyone else. But we carry around in us, we carry in our bodies a treasure that is worth more than all the gold or silver that the world has ever seen. We carry in these bodies the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what Paul says. We carry in us the Holy Spirit. We carry the gospel. The Holy Spirit works when his words come out of these mouths. Nathanael goes to meet Jesus, and he is pretty quickly impressed. He's impressed by the omniscience of Jesus, Jesus' ability to have seen him, to have known him under the fig tree before they had ever even met physically. He perceives that Jesus is all-knowing. But Jesus says that's not what he should be impressed by. Nathanael will see far greater things than this. What things? He will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's what Jesus tells him. Nathanael would see the heavens opened at Jesus' baptism, I suppose, hearing the voice of the Father. He would have heard about the transfiguration, though he wasn't there personally. He would have at least heard about the angels ministering to Jesus out in the wilderness after the temptation of Satan, or at the Garden of Gethsemane. But there is more than that to these words of Jesus. They hearken back to Genesis. Back in Genesis, Jacob witnessed a vision of the Lord God Almighty on or with a ladder, Jacob's ladder, stretching between earth and heaven, and the angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. Nathanael would bear witness to the Lord God Almighty in the divine flesh of Jesus, mounted on a cross, stretching between earth and heaven, which would serve as the ladder through which we, his people, would ascend into heaven. The cross of Christ is a far greater glory than Jacob ever saw in this life, greater than any of the other miracles that Nathanael saw. Because there on the ladder of the cross, Jesus reconciled us sinners to God. There God dies so that we would have life. That is what all of us are here to see week in and week out. And what about when you invite someone else to come and see? You and I are really no more impressive than Philip or Nathanael. And if they do take you up on your invitation to come here and see and listen, it may not look very impressive either. They may brush the invitation aside. They may think you're just one of those Bible-toting religious fanatics. Who knows? But if they trust you, they might just come. They might just listen. They might just heed your invitation to come and see. But the power of God's Spirit in his word, the scales might fall from their spiritual eyes so that they too would see Jesus as their Messiah, the one who came as an infant, the one who died, the one who rose, the one who is coming again, the one who is their Lord, the one who forgives their sin as well as ours. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus. Amen.